We have one that knows just what is needed in every one of our lives. Well, I hope you are still praying for me. I feel the need of the Lord this evening and desire your prayers that the Lord would help us to be able to bring out the thoughts that He has been talking to us about. I would like to write something on the board. As I've mentioned before, the burden that the Lord has been talking to me about for this meeting is to help us to prepare to meet God. And I believe the subject that I've written on the board is very essential in order for us to be able to do that. For those of you that can't see or maybe even read my writing, I hope I spelled it all right. I've written, maintain the fire of God's love in our heart, or you could say our souls. I believe that, dear ones, this is something that's going to be very necessary for you and I in order to be prepared to meet God. We talked last night about God's grace being sufficient for us in the time that we live in today. But also realize that Jesus said over in Matthew, the 24th chapter, in Matthew, the 24th chapter and the 12th verse, Jesus said, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Now this tells me that we're going to have to be on our guard lest that happen to us. It also tells me that we're going to have something to keep the fire of God's love burning in our souls, or it's going to go cold. It's something that it's just like a fire that you would have in a fireplace or maybe out on a campfire. We probably all had those things. And when you can build a fire, and it can be a big fire. It can be a hot fire. In fact, it can be so hot that nobody can get close to it. You ever done that camping? You build a fire, and a lot of times we do it when you're going to roast some wings, and you build this fire, and it's so hot nobody can even get close to it, and you have to wait until it dies down. While you can build a fire that's hot, that nothing can get close to it, and I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's the kind of fire we need in our soul. Not that we don't let other people, but we don't want the enemy to get close to us. We need the fire of God burning brightly in our souls. But we can take and have a fire that is so hot that nothing can get close to it. But if we do not continue to feed that fire, it will eventually die down to the point to where not only can people get close to it, but they can take and they can be standing right over it, and then they can take and step on it and put it out. You know, dear ones, that's what the devil's goal is for every one of us, is to stamp out the spark of God's love in every one of our hearts. We have a song in our book. It's number 222. The title of it is "The Fire in the Soul." And it says, "Is the Spirit glowing in thy heart?" Dear ones, the secret to maintaining the grace of God in our souls, of being victorious over sin and over all the things that the enemy brings against us, of being able to have the peace and joy of God just filling our souls, is for you and I to have the power of the Holy Spirit keeping that fire of God's love burning brightly in our souls. It's essential. The songwriter said, "Oh my brother, can you say that you feel the burning love of God in thy bosom day by day?" Dear ones, as I mentioned last night, there are things that are designed to frustrate the grace of God, to short circuit, if you will, the power of God so that the love of God will grow cold in our hearts. Now, I want you to think about this. You take power and you can take a, they have electric fireplaces. And you can turn that on and they can put out some heat. There's no real fire there, but they can put out some heat. But if you cut the power off, the fire is going away. It's not going to do anything. It's the same way with God's love. If we allow the things that are designed to short circuit the grace of God, to short circuit the power of God in our lives, the love of God will begin to grow cold. And so he said, "Oh, my brother, can you say that you feel the burning love of God in thy bosom day by day? Not just on Sundays, not just during revival meetings, not just during camp meeting, but he said, burning there day by day." Now, why is that important? The reason it's important, dear one, is there is no power greater than the power of God's love. When a person has love that is burning in their hearts, that love will cause them to want to do things that they might not otherwise want to do. I'll give you some examples. I've used these. Some of you may have heard it before. But in my mind, it illustrates. Have you ever had a child, those of you that are parents, that just didn't want to take a bath? You know, that happens, doesn't it? When they're little, and they get up big enough that they can go out in the dirt and play in the sand and the dirt and all, and you tell them it's time to come in to take a bath, and they're like, "Oh, why do I have to take another bath? I just had one the other day." And you're like, "Because you've been playing in the dirt, and look at yourself in the mirror. You're covered with dirt. But I'm going to go back out tomorrow and play in it, and I'm going to get dirty again." Do you see that? In a child's mind, that's the way they think, isn't it? And they, especially little boys, they just don't want to take a bath when they're that little. It's just like, it's a nuisance. Now some do, but generally what I've found is little boys don't want to do that. Well, you know what happens? As that little boy grows, and he gets to the age to where he starts to notice the little girls, things change, doesn't it? If you've had teenagers, you know what I'm talking about. Instead of not wanting to take a bath, sometimes it's like, "Now you had two showers today, do you really need a third?" You see what I'm saying? There's something that happens, isn't there? Because love has a way of working a change in a person. I'll put it this way. Most young boys like to hunt, fish. They like to play basketball. And sometimes they like it so well that they would just soon do that as eat or sleep. And every waking moment, if they're allowed, they'll be out doing one of those things. Now, you might have to take and go in and shake them and say, "It's time to get up and go to school." But if they're going hunting, they'll get up before the crack of dawn, and they'll go out in cold, freezing weather, and they'll sit in that tree all day long if they can. Why? Because they love to do it. Now, you try to get them to go to town and go shopping or something like that, it's like, "Oh, I don't want to do that." That's the last thing they want to do. But now you watch. When they get up and they fall in love with that certain young lady, it makes a total change in their life, doesn't it? You take, and I know you've seen this if you've raised teenagers, you watch that young boy and he won't want to do anything, whether it's playing basketball or whatever. But when he falls in love, you take and the other boys come along and say, "Hey, Johnny, come on, we're going to go play basketball." "I can't do it today." "What? You've never not played basketball with us. What could be more important than playing basketball?" "Well, Susie wants to go shopping. I'm going to go with her." You just almost can see their jaw drop. Shopping? You would go shopping instead of playing ball? It's just almost unheard of. And they'll just be like, I can almost hear the boys going back. "I've heard it when I was a young man. Can you believe? He went shopping instead of hunting or fishing or playing ball. He's been bit bad." That's what they say. That he's got bitten bad by that love bug. Do you know what happens, dear ones? It changes something within a person. Their desires. Their wants. It's not that he just loves now to go shopping. It's not that. It's because there's something else that is motivating him. Do you know, dear ones, it's the same thing with parents that have children and their house burns, and you have to physically restrain them from going back into that house. You say, no, you can't go in because it's dangerous. There's no way you can rescue them. But my child is in there. I don't care. I'm not worried about myself. I want my child. You think about it yourself. If that's your child in there and you know it is, you want to do everything within your power. It doesn't matter what it's going to cause to you. Do you see, dear ones? That's the power of love and what it does. Do you know, dear ones, that's why the martyrs went to the stake? It's not because they love being crucified upside down like some of the apostles or any of those things. It was because of something greater than that. Their love caused them, because of their love for God, they were willing to do something that the flesh would say, no, I can't do that. It would repulse that. But the love of God burning in a soul would cause someone to want to take and do something that they wouldn't normally do. Dear ones, love is a powerful thing. And the reason I believe the Lord wants us to focus on this is because love is what it will take to enable you and I to live a life that is pleasing to God. You can't live for God, remember, on your own. It takes God. I want to look now in Galatians, the 5th chapter, the 16th verse. Galatians, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What's he saying? How do you walk in the Spirit? How does walking in the Spirit keep one from fulfilling the lust of the flesh? Let's turn now to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, starting in the first verse, it says, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now, we just talked about how that love will work a change in a person and cause them to want to do things that they might not otherwise want to do. But I will tell you, dear ones, love will also cause a person to not want to do something as well. If you truly love your job, you're not going to want to do something that would cause you to put your job in jeopardy, would you? You're not going to do something that would cause your boss to say, you know, I think we just need to fire him. If you truly love the job, now if you don't love it, you may be like the man that I heard at work one time and he said, well, I was looking for a job when I found this one. He didn't have that much loyalty to the job. He was just, whatever happens. But if you love that job, you're going to do what you can to preserve that, isn't it? Do you know it's the same way with your companion? If you truly love your companion, you're not going to want to do anything to damage that relationship with your companion. It's a different love. It's something that causes you to want to not do the things that would hinder that relationship. And dear ones, it's the same in our relationship with God. He went on in Ephesians here in the 5th chapter, in the 3rd verse. And I want you to notice what he said. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Dear ones, this is why we need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It not only takes, when His love is burning in our hearts, it not only takes and causes us to want to do some things, but it also causes us to abhor the things that are an offense to God. It gives us a sensitiveness Just like you are with your companion, you're sensitive to the things that they feel. And so you don't want to do anything to harm them. We're talking about being prepared to meet God. And I want you to notice what he said here. He said, those that do these things hath no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. He went on in this sixth verse and he said, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Dear ones, I know you know this, but don't buy into the false doctrine that is so prevalent in our world today. Sin you must. Sin you can't help it. Everybody sins more or less every day. It is a doctrine that is damning many souls to a devil's hell. He said, let no man deceive you with vain words. Do you know what Jesus said to the woman that was there in adultery? It's there in John the 8th chapter. John the 8th chapter in the 11th verse. He told her, he said, go and sin no more. Now you remember earlier on in the meeting, we read the scripture where Jesus said, the words that I have spoken, they shall judge you in that day. Dear ones, Christ said, go and sin no more. The reason that people in our world today cannot live a sin-free life is because of what we're talking about here tonight. They do not have the love of Christ perfected within their hearts. They do not have the power, the want to be able to live in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable to God. It takes the desire and it takes the power, and that is not of us. Remember, it's not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. I want you to turn with me now to Philippians. Philippians, the second chapter in the 13th verse, Philippians 2 and 13. It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, what did we already hear about? We're going to have to be blameless when we stand before the Lord, aren't we? And he's saying here to us, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Dear ones, as we said earlier, it's not within man that walketh to direct his own steps. It's not within our own ability. But this is the answer. Because it is not by his grace. When God fills us with the power of his Holy Spirit, he gives us not only the desire, the want to, but he gives us the power to do those things that are pleasing his sight. Dear ones, this is how it works. When you look at this, when his love is perfected within our hearts, it gives us that desire and the power to live for God in a way that's pleasing to him. What did Paul say? I want to turn over now to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, he said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Dear ones, if you're struggling with something in your life, whatever it is, it can be attitudes, it can be habits, it can be anything. It can be all accusations. It can be whatever it is. If you're struggling with something in your life, the answer is to surrender it and yourself to God. Let him perfect his love within your hearts. Do you know, dear ones, when a person loves to do something, it's not hard to want to do that, is it? Now, I didn't say it's not hard to do it. I said it's not hard to want to do it. Do you know that there are people who have climbed high mountains? That's not an easy task, is it? They'll get out there and they'll plan it and they'll scale up the side of vertical cliffs. And it'll take them days sometimes to get up there. They'll camp on the side of it. That's not an easy task. But they do it because they want to. You know, I've seen people run races there in Tulsa. They have what they call the Tulsa Run. They have other runs too. But years ago, our company sponsored some of that, and so some of the techs there in the building, we had to go out and help set up some of the stuff at nighttime and all, and then the next day we were there to take things down and all. And I remember watching those runners, and they would run in all kinds of weather. I've seen them take and go through there running, and I was bundled up. It was blowing snow, and I was cold, and I was on the sidewalk, and these runners come along in their t-shirt and shorts, and they're running, and the snow is stinging their face and their legs, and I don't want to be graphic, but I mean, stuff was frozen on their face, and I looked at that, and I was like, why would you do that? Why would somebody do that? I've watched them run when it's hot. And when it gets hot, it's hard on them. And they get there and they would run and run and they would cross that finish line and they would immediately go over and just fall and just start throwing up. They were so sick. People would get them up. No, you can't stop. You're going to get cramps. You got to walk. And they'd take them on. And I'd look at that and I'd think, why would you do that? It seemed crazy to me. I mean, that's not fun to me. And I looked at that, but you know why they do it? Because they love it. And so they do it. I want to ask us tonight, how is your love for God? Does anybody think you're crazy because of your love for God? If they don't, you might ought to examine your love. I think about when we all gather over here at Monarch. Do you know I've heard people look at that and they talk and say, well, that's just crazy. It's almost 100 degrees out, and those people are gathered over there at that campground, and it's an open-air tabernacle, and they're all gathered in there, and they're hot, and they're sweating, and they're all dressed modestly, and that's just crazy. Do you know why we do it, dear ones? I hope this is the reason that you do it. It's because of a love down in our souls, isn't it? It's a love for God. It's a love for our fellow man. You know, if I didn't love anybody else and I didn't really care, I could dress any way I want to. Because, hey, that's your problem. But we already talked about that, didn't we? Humility. The love of God will cause you and I to do things that's not easy on the flesh. It'll cause us to do things, dear ones, because I love the Lord. Because I love my brother. Isn't that what God commanded us in the beginning? All the way through, you'll find the commandment of God. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the commandment that has been all the way through. And dear ones, it's going to be the commandment when you and I stand at the judgment throne of God that we're going to be measured by. So I say again, how is our love this evening? Do you know, dear ones, I'm convinced that the reason that people struggle in living for God is because of this very thing. The love of God is not perfected in their hearts. They need this love perfected in their hearts. When you truly love someone, you want to be with them, don't you? When you truly love someone, you don't want to do anything that would cause them to be offended. Yes? I said, it causes you to want to be with them. Even if it means going shopping? Yes. Now, I know some of you brethren are probably saying, brother, I wish you would just lay off of that. My wife's going to say I don't love her because I don't go shopping. But I'm going to tell you, there's things that you do that she probably doesn't want to do either. But you'll find that there'll be times that you'll do it just because of that love. I'm not saying you have to do it every time. But I'm saying when you love someone, there are times you're going to do things just because of that. Not because you enjoy going shopping, or maybe, I don't know, you sisters, you don't enjoy going hunting. I know some women that do just because they want to be with their husband. You see, there's things that we do. We don't do it all the time, maybe, but we do it because of a love for them. I was thinking, Karen's uncle was telling me several years ago, her grandfather, his wife died when he was up in years, and he was helping him. He'd been helping him. He'd been pouring a lot of concrete pads, and he was helping him, and he'd go there, and he'd work through the day. But he'd tell him, he'd say, now, at such and such a time, he said, I need to stop. And he said, okay. And so when it get close to that time, you can be sure he was checking the time. And then it didn't matter if they were still pouring a pad. He's like, I've got to go. And so he would leave and he would go home. And he said, in about 45 minutes to an hour, you would see his truck going the other way headed to town. And what happened was he was interested in a little lady. And so it didn't matter. He'd help him all day long. But when it got to this time, I've got to stop. I've got to go. I'm headed to town because there's somebody there that's drawing my affections. And that's what he did. And he said every time you would see that, and it would be something that would draw him there. Do you know, dear ones, I'm convinced this is why that you hear so frequently in our nation today of churches closing their doors because of a lack of attendance. It's because people's love for God has grown cold. Other things have creeped in and have taken and choked out the love of God in their hearts. Someone might say, well, brother, I love God. And it's not because I don't love Him that I can't make it to church on Wednesday night or Sunday night or Sunday morning even. Life is just busy. I know. Brother Michael, is life busy for you? Is there anybody in here that your life is not busy? It's just that way, isn't it? I'm going to tell you, it just seems like the last several months, my wife can tell you, I've been pulled in so many directions and I'm like, I don't know. But you know what, dear ones? And I'm not going to turn there because we quoted it last night. The Apostle Paul said, he said, to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now, I also remember what Christ said, and I want to look at that in Luke, the 21st chapter, in the 34th verse, Luke 21 and 34. Jesus said, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with servitude and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Dear ones, we're talking about preparing to meet God. I want to make heaven. I believe you do too. And so that's why I've made it a priority in my life. When it comes time for service, I want to be there. Now, I recognize other people have priorities as well. They're on the job. We'll be working sometimes. It may be 5:30, 6 o'clock, and look like it's going to go on for quite a while, and somebody will speak up and they'll say, well, at 6:15, I've got to leave because I've got to get my son to soccer, and then I've got to take my daughter to practice over here for ball, and I've got to do this. And people say, okay, well, you go on. You got to take care of that. They recognize that. Do you know, dear ones, if we make living for God a priority, people will recognize that. I can't tell you how many times we've been working late and somebody say, this is Wednesday. Isn't this your church night? Yes, I've been watching it. I've got about 15 more minutes and then I'm out of here. Because I know I can get there in that time. And I'll go straight to church. But you see, they've recognized it's a priority. And so they'll be the ones. Now, don't be late. You go on when you need to go. If we make it a priority to live for God, dear ones, the world will recognize it. And they'll respect that, and they'll encourage you to be faithful. I realize we live in a busy time. There are lots of things, dear ones, that are vying for our time and our affections. And that's why it is critical for you and I to have the love of God perfected within our hearts. Because if we do not, the love of other things will creep in and it will choke out the love of God. People many times struggle with the doctrine of sanctification. And I realize the devil does everything he can to try to confuse people's minds about that. But dear ones, this is really what it's about. I want to look at what Jesus said over in John, the 4th chapter. It says, Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Over in 1 John, the 4th chapter, in the 8th verse, it talks about, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Because it says, God is love. Dear ones, when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we are filled with God's love. When we invite the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and lives, what we are doing is inviting God to perfect His love within our hearts. That's what it is. That's what He does. When God comes in by His Spirit, He is coming in and filling our lives with His love, and He's perfecting His love within our hearts. And that love will do what we read about over here in Philippians, and I want to get that again. In Philippians, the 2nd chapter and the 13th verse, it says, "For it is God which worketh both to do, to will and to do of His good pleasure." Dear ones, when God comes in and He perfects His love within our hearts, that's what gives us the power and the desire to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. You can't do that without that. You can try. I can't tell you how many times in my life early on I wanted to do what was right. I would try. I've heard numerous people say, I want to, but I just can't do it. Dear ones, the reason they can't do it is because they don't have the love of God perfected down in their hearts that's given them that desire and the power to be able to do it. We talk about making a consecration. We talk about submitting ourselves, surrendering ourselves. Dear ones, what it really boils down to is you and I allowing God to perfect His love within our hearts. When I set my love aside and I ask the Lord, Lord, You come in and fill me with Your love, there's no tussle then. There's no struggle then over, well, now I want my way, because now I've asked the Lord to come in and to fill me with His love, and that love is what causes me to want to do His will. You know, it's the same love that Christ had. Let's look over in John, the 6th chapter now, in the 38th verse. In John, the 6th chapter, in the 38th verse, Christ said, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." Dear ones, this is what the power of the Holy Spirit does in our lives. It perfects His love down in our souls, and it causes us to want to do what Christ did. I came not to do mine own will. Father, I love You. I want to please You, and I do always those things that are pleasing You. You see, because that love, God's love, was in Christ. Now I'm going to shift gears just a little bit because that clock's rolling. Do you know, dear ones, just as there is the love of God, there's another love. There's another love, but it's the love of the world. You know the scripture in 1 John, but I'm going to turn there and read it. In 1 John, the 2nd chapter and the 15th verse, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Dear ones, this is a very powerful love as well. It causes people to want to do things, just like the love of God does. But if you look at this, and you notice what it says, this love causes people to do what? To want the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You can see the evidence of the power of this love all around us. When you look at this, people will do all kinds of things to be seen because of the flesh. Do you know they'll eat cockroaches? They'll take and they'll endure all kinds of things just to be seen. Reality shows, I don't watch them, but I hear people talk about them. And it's kind of like jogging. I listen to what they're saying, they're doing, and I'm thinking, why would you do that? What would cause a person to endure such painful things sometimes? It's because of a love. The love, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I want somebody to take and do something. I want them to see me. Do you know people will take and they'll deprive themselves of sleep? They'll drive hundreds of miles. They'll sit through all kinds of weather, 100 degrees, 100 plus, snow blowing, rain, all to get there to that stadium and sit there and watch that sporting event. Why? Because they love that sport. Or because they want their child to be there because one of these days, I want you to be one of those Hall of Famers. I want to be able to say, that's my son or that's my daughter. You see, there's something that causes people to want to do this. People will do all kinds of things. They'll just do things with their bodies. Have you looked at people that have just plastered themselves? Every, seemed like half an inch of their body is covered with tattoos. And I look at them, and some of them, they're big snakes, and they're all, and I look at them, and I think, why would you do that? When you get to be, I'd say 80, but some of those people are probably never going to live that long by the lives they're living. You get to be 60, you're going to look at yourself in the mirror and say, why did I do this? Have you ever seen people take, and they'll do hairstyles, they'll do colors of hair, and I look at them, and I'm like, really? Why would you do that? I've gone by Brahms, and I've stopped there to pick something up, and there at the window to take my money or to give me an order, there's a young lady, and her hair is spiked out in every way, and it's all colors, pink and all. And I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking, ooh, are you fixing my food? I don't know that I want that. You see what I'm saying? Because I look at that and I'm thinking, whatever's causing you to do that, I don't know that I want you to take care. You see what I'm saying? It's because there's something that's driving them. And when you look at this, it's because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Have you ever heard of Evel Knievel? Some of you young ones may not have. When I was growing up, he would take a motorcycle and jump as many cars as he could. He tried jumping the Grand Canyon. Maybe, I don't know if he ever succeeded. He tried it, I know, at least twice. Now, it wasn't a regular motorcycle. When I heard it, I was thinking, wow, that must be some motorcycle. It was more like a rocket is what it looked like to me. But he didn't make it, at least the first time. I don't know if he did the second time or not. But that man busted up his body I don't know how many times. Why would you do that? I want to be recognized as I'm Evel Knievel. I can take and do things that nobody else can do. Have you ever heard the name Jesse Smollett? He's in the news today, isn't he? He faked a hate crime. And he created quite a stir before and after they found out that it was a hoax. Now I want to ask you, dear ones, what would cause somebody to want to do something like that? It's because the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And it's because those things are powered by a love that is not the love of God. I want to look in Romans, the 6th chapter. Dear ones, if we do not have God's love perfected in our hearts, we will have the love of the world in our hearts. I want you to recognize this. If we do not have His love in our hearts, we're going to have the other love. And it will cause us to do things that we might not otherwise want to do. In Romans, the 6th chapter and the 16th verse, the Apostle Paul said, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." You notice he said, "whom ye yield yourselves." It's a choice that you and I have to make. And while you may not choose to have a love that would cause you to do evil, dear ones, if you and I choose not to allow God to perfect His love within our hearts, we'll choose the other by default. There's only two kinds of love. It's this love, which is the love of the world, and the love of God. Both of these loves are very powerful loves. Both of these loves are vying for your affection. They're both doing everything they can to try to get you to allow them to possess you. If you yield to one, the other one will have to back off. I won't tell this probably exactly like she told it, but Karen's told the story at home about an Indian chief. There was a warrior that came to him. Some of you may have heard it too. And this brave came to him and told him, said, "I'm struggling. I have within me, I feel like I've got two forces within me. One's wanting to do good and one's wanting to do bad." And he said, I don't understand it. And the old chieftain looked at him and he said, and I won't get it exactly right. He said, "Son, it's like you've got two wolves in you. A good wolf and a bad wolf. And they're both fighting to control you." And the young brave asked him, said, "Well, how do I know which one will win?" And he said, "The one you feed the most." Now, that's a simple story, but it's got something powerful in it. Dear ones, you and I may try to feed both, so to speak. To try to love God. I want to love the Lord and I want to go to heaven, but I want the things of the world too. I want my way. Lord, I want to do your will, but can I have my way in this? You see what I'm saying? It just don't happen, does it? The Lord said, you can't serve two masters. You're either going to love the one or you're going to hate the other. You just can't do it. I had a situation at work where I had two bosses. And they were both of equal authority and they were complete opposites. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that was one of the most difficult things there was to do. Because one would come to me and he would tell me things over here and he'd try to get me to see his way, and then the other one take and he'd tell me some things over here and he'd talk about that one and he'd try to get me to go his way. I'm going to tell you, you're torn. If you please one, the other one's not pleased. If you please this one, then that one's not pleased. It was a terrible thing. Dear ones, it's the same way with people trying to live for God and live for the flesh. It's a terrible thing. It's miserable. You'll never be happy. You'll never have the peace of God in your soul. You'll never be able to have victory over all the things that the enemy comes against you, because you're conflicted and you're sitting there and you're trying to do these things. Dear ones, these forces are adversaries. They will not share their love. The more you yield to one, the more they're going to demand your complete and total allegiance. But I'm going to tell you what else. The other thing about them is they are both intent on stamping out every spark of love in your heart for the other one. I want you to think about this. Both of them are intent on wiping out every element of the love of the other one out of your heart. Because they know what that means. if there's a spark of that love in our soul. And that's why both of them will take and do everything within their power to fan that little spark. They'll keep fanning it. If they see just a little spark, they'll fan it as long as there's a spark. Because they know, both of these powers know that once that spark goes out, they've lost complete control of you. They cannot entice you to do what they want any longer. Because there's no spark there that they can work with. Dear ones, our God is a merciful God. That's why the scripture, it talks about, and I don't know that I've got it looked up, but it talks about how that a smoking flax, a bruised reed, he will not break. Our God is a merciful God. And when he sees a spark of his love in your hearts, he'll work with that. And he'll work with that, trying to get you to allow him to perfect his love in your hearts. But I'm going to tell you also, the enemy is a relentless foe. And if you've given your heart to the Lord, and you're endeavoring to please the Lord, but there's just a little bit of self there, the devil is going to come along and he's going to blow on that, and he's going to blow on that, and you're going to find yourself conflicted at times as that flame begins to start, and you're like, Lord, why am I struggling? Lord, I don't want these feelings. I don't want these thoughts. And you don't realize what's happening. But the devil has saw something down there and he's blowing on it. Because he knows that the Lord is working all he can to cause you to surrender fully to him. And he knows that once you do that, he has no ability to be able to convince you to do what he wants you to do. Dear ones, this is why we need the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives. Our text said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. As I mentioned earlier and I mentioned last night, there are things, many things, dear ones, in our world today that are designed to frustrate the grace of God, to short-circuit the power of God in our lives so that the love of God cannot wax hotter and hotter until it consumes all the dross that is in our lives. Dear ones, as you and I yield to the flesh, let me put it this way. As you and I fail to allow the Lord to perfect His love within our hearts, and then we begin to take and cater to the flesh, what will happen is you'll find the love of God growing colder and colder in your life. Until eventually, when that happens, you'll find yourself finding it easier and easier to cater to the flesh. And you'll find yourself having less and less of a desire to please the Lord. You'll find yourself having less and less of a desire to even go to service or profess or do anything. And when that love gets colder and colder, the Spirit of God will begin to depart from your life. He'll still come and he'll still fan if there's a spark. And this is why I have challenged the young people at home. I've told them, and I don't know what you think about this, I said, I would rather that you not profess something that you don't have and just say, I don't have it, I'm not saved, than I would for you to be deceived and go out and lose the love of God completely out of your hearts. Because what happens when they recognize I need God, that gives the Lord a little room to begin to work. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if you allow that to happen and the Spirit of God begins to depart, and remember I said, there are things that are designed to frustrate the grace of God. There are things that if I cater to, the Lord will come by and He'll knock on your heart. Remember what I said the other day? The Lord came by and said, you better watch your attitude. I could cater to that and say, but Lord, it's not my fault. It was theirs. the Lord will keep coming by. But if I keep catering to that, what it does is it allows that little fire of the love of the world to begin to grow. And as that happens, the Spirit of the Lord will depart. And I'll find myself wondering, Lord, I haven't felt your presence in a long time. I haven't felt that burning love of God down in my soul. It's cut my testimony off. I don't want to pray. I don't want to do anything. In fact, I'm getting to where I have an attitude towards those people. You see what happens? That's exactly what happens when the love of God goes out of your heart. Do you know what brings unity? Can you ever get to any closer when they're fully in love? I'm going to tell you, it's hard to separate people that are they're head over heels in love. Do you know that's what brings unity in the body of Christ? Is when you and I allow the Lord to perfect His love within our hearts. When we take and allow Him to begin to have His complete way, do you know what? Brother Michael, you can say what you want to, but I still love you. You see, that's the way it is. I'm picking on him because he knows what I'm talking about. It's, dear ones, it doesn't matter. I don't take and allow the devil to build walls. Brother Dan, when you say what you say, instead of it being, well, I wonder what he meant by that. That's my brother. I don't know what he was saying. I'll talk to him about it one of these days. You see what I'm saying? Because the love of God is abounding there. There's something that draws us together. It doesn't separate us. This is why, dear ones, we need the love of God burning in our souls. The clock's run around. I'm going to stop. Dear ones, I want to challenge this evening. We're talking about being prepared to meet God. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it'll be a fearful thing to stand before the presence of God without the love of God in our hearts. We'll be cast out into everlasting darkness. We'll be cast out to the Father of that power of the love of the world that will mock at us through eternity. Dear ones, I want to challenge us this evening. I said it earlier. The secret to maintaining the grace of God in our souls, to having victory over all the things that the enemy would bring, attitudes, hurts, unforgiveness, all the things, the temptations, the frustration, the secret to maintaining victory over those things, having His grace in our heart and having the love and joy and peace of God reigning in our souls, to where when I come on Wednesday night, oh, I love the Lord. I'm satisfied. What was the song that we sang? I can raise that. Lord, I am satisfied in Jesus. Because it's burning down in my soul. The secret to that is having the power of the Holy Spirit keeping the fire of God's love burning brightly in our souls. I want to challenge you this evening. Again, I don't know what your needs are. This is what the Lord gave me though. And I want to challenge you. If you're here and there's anything that you've been struggling with, you can be saved, you can be sanctified, but I've been struggling over something. If the Lord has put His finger on something, I want to challenge you, take it to the Lord and ask the Lord, rekindle the burning fire of your love within my heart. Cleanse out everything that the enemy has sown seeds that would hinder me from being prepared to meet you. As we sing that song, was it 222, I believe it was, Fire in the Soul? I want to encourage us to ask ourselves these questions. It says, the writer said, is the Spirit glowing in thy heart? Oh, my brother, can you say that you feel the burning love of God? Yes, I love the Lord, but do you feel that burning love down in your souls? If you're here, whatever you need, dear ones, unsaved, saved, sanctified, we all desperately need the love of God perfected in our hearts. Because I'm going to tell you, we're living in a world that is designed to frustrate the grace of God and to short-circuit that love. And it doesn't take very long for that love to begin to start cooling off. And when it happens, You know what the consequence of that. All kinds of things begin to happen in our life. I appreciate your attention this evening.